This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
The older you get, you realize there's few people in your life, if you're lucky, that really want to hear about all your problems or whatever you got going on. So we're going to do this one here.
You better mind all your manners. And she'd better get a birthday card from you. And if you send out an invitation, get it there on time no matter what you do. And take the time to write the words you know are right.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast, live from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where we record bands, artists, amateurs, people just doing fun stuff in the world of recording all the time. Just shoot me an email, phil@philpritchett.com. Phil, I got this band. Phil, this friend of mine's making a record. Phil, can you mix my album? Phil, can you do voice-over narration for the audio version of Moby Dick? Just pass it on. I do it all, man. We do it all here. Phil@philpritchett.com. Well, speaking of doing it all, a man who does it all, father, husband, a full band, former full band road manager, devoted, hard-working man out there in the world, and an opinionated guy dropping by the studio today. We're so privileged to have him here in our opening segment. A rare opening segment guest, Blake Walker, is here. How you doing there, Walker?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank it's you great to see me. You again. Hi. Great to see you again here, dropping by Trinidad World Recording. Man, you just, we need to have your picture taken and hung out here in the wall.
I won't
on the wall
that.
Next to the full band and Bob Dylan. Well, man, we were talking, talked a little politics last week. You were here. Oh, man, just shaking the tree on that. Oops. Where's this show going? You know, there's just no news and music. It's just all, it's just this chaotic world. So you got, it's hard to stay. It's hard to keep up politics in the big presidential race out of things. So we shed a little light there last week, hopefully for some of you guys, some of you folks out there. Talked with J.W. Marshall last week about the live record. Well, this week, golly, you know, we've just been through March Madness, basketball, speaking of basketball, we were overjoyed here in Dallas, Texas. Were we not last year, Blake, with the victory, the championship, the world title of the Dallas Mavericks? You remember that? Do you remember that?
I'll never forget it.
Never forget it.
Oh,
not only did we win, we beat the hated and vaunted Miami Heat.
What a better – there's no better way to do that.
I know.
That was amazing. What a run.
Just amazing, an amazing run. You know, Dirk and the Mavs that – no, going into the playoffs, even the most ardent Maverick fan, you wouldn't have hoped a whole lot. Just kind of no. We're in there like, you know, we might get through a couple rounds. Who knows? You know, and who knows?
Lose to the Lakers.
Who knows?
That was
right.
The story,
we're
going
to get wiped out by the Lakers.
Yep.
But we sweep the Lakers.
We
roll
the Lakers.
Into the finals. And beat the Heat. Oh, man, no one could believe it.
Yeah, and that Oklahoma series.
That's a
City,
tough team. Awesome. We rolled through some tough teams.
Oh, yeah. The Lakers series, we destroyed the Lakers. But when we went up to Oklahoma City, you know, everyone thought, they're young, we'll beat them. But, man, they were awesome. They'll win a title. Yeah. They have the pieces in place. Right. And your T-Sip buddy, Kevin Durant, he's outstanding.
Pretty good player.
I saw him play.
You kind of love Durant, though. He's done a lot of tattoos. He's not kind of a nice kid, yeah? That's his reputation, anyway.
You're looking at me.
What are you thinking?
Are you looking around me?
I don't know.
You got to love Durant. It's not a statement in my vocabulary. He's a T-Sip. Therefore, I can't love him, but I appreciate his talent for sure.
Appreciate his talent, sure.
I watched him play in college. He's an amazing guy. But, yeah, that series, that Oklahoma series was awesome. And then the Heat series was just – it was great, man, because all the games were close till the end, till the fourth. And it was all fun to watch, man. It was
amazing.
Unreal.
Dallas Mavericks. A great time for anybody here in a Maverick fan in North Texas, which includes all of us, of course. So therefore, it was that you get into the off season, you've got this strike thing looming that we went through. This season was delayed. The lockout, talk of the free agency thing blowing up, coming forth, and everybody knew deep down, and I don't know all the details, but that the Mavericks and all NBA teams would have to start shuffling the roster. Creating cap room, moving guys around, a lot of trades. And so this was kind of in the air. Now, the Mavericks had for years Dirk Nowitzki. We had, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, point guards. We always had a couple of forwards that could score and play defense, like Marion. We had, Jerry Stackhouse was a good player. We had three-point guys like Terry and Nick Van Exel, guys that get us into the playoffs. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah.
The guy we missed was what? The guy, what we did not have ever in the history of the franchise was what?
My opinion, your opinion, I don't know. I'm talking about a point guard that will take it to the hoop. Somebody will go get in the paint. Because Dirk isn't a big take it to the paint guy.
Right.
And get his fouls.
Well, I would argue that we didn't have a 7-foot guy in the middle who would hustle, play defense, and rebound.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Right. Big man.
You're like, well... Sure, the Lakers are good or the Heat or whoever. Like, well, they got Shaq, slam dunk, end of story. These guys who are like, man, your team's going to be pretty good if that's one of them.
Yeah.
It's a missing piece. We had to put up with the spareness of Eric Dampier, just a lazy guy.
What about Sean Bradley?
Bradley.
Good Lord.
But you know what? It's something every NBA team focuses on. So we always had Dirk shooting threes.
Yeah.
I mean, Nash was a great point guard.
Yeah.
Kids, maybe two of the best that ever played. Yeah. We had those two guys, right? We had some forwards who could score, some three guys off the bench, sixth man of the year, and Jerry Stackhouse for a spell. We had all the pieces. The one thing we didn't have was someone who could hustle, rebound, and play in the middle. Yep. And last year, for the first time in the history of the franchise, we bring in a guy, Tyson Chandler.
All right.
Who becomes the heart and soul in the locker room for the team, according to players. A rabble-rouser, a tough guy. A guy who can block shots, rebounds, score a little, play defense. A leader in the locker room.
Yeah.
So we win this title, and he is – everyone contributes, of course, but he is in no small part because you're thinking, man, he's the one piece we have not had, that Dirk has not had, you know, that people focus on him a little bit in the middle. And so we win the title, and all this free agency stuff starts coming around.
Yeah.
And now this is my opinion. I just say, you put the whole Maverick team in front of me and say, all right, we're going to try to repeat, or we're going to try to keep moving forward. We can only keep a couple of guys or a few guys or whatever. We got to let some guys go. I just say, time out. Let me grab a couple that we can't live without.
Yeah.
I grab Dirk Nowitzki, and I grab Chandler. And I look at the rest of them. I'd love to still have Marion. I'd love to have Terry.
Yeah.
They're older. Are there no 6'7" guys in the league who can shoot three-pointers? And I'm kind of like, yeah, you can get those guys. They're out there. Point guards, okay. There are. Okay, I'm not saying there's a lot of, but there are not a lot of guys who are going to come in the middle and anchor the team on offense and defense like Chandler did for us. And I look up, he just goes to the Knicks, like Cuban, and everybody just shrugs their shoulders and they let him go. I'm just like, and now we're watching this year, it's just like the Mavs a few years ago. I'm like, everyone's like, man, what's wrong with our team? I'm like, dude, you just lost a 7-footer in there who could dominate games and lead on and off the court on both sides of the ball. It was the dumbest thing I can imagine. Am I wrong?
Yes and no. All right. Yes, because on the obvious, want to repeat, want to try to go to championship this year.
Well, who doesn't want to win?
Well, I think what your owner and your GM would argue is that, yeah, we could take a stab at running again in during a short season with some old guys and Chandler on the same team we had.
How old is Chandler? I don't know. Is he old?
Chandler's not old. I mean, I didn't think he was old guys meaning with Terry and Kidd and
Marion's pretty old.
And Marion, those guys being older. But I think what Cuban sees and what Donnie Nelson sees is that, look, we want to win multiple championships and we want to be good in the future.
Right.
And we need to watch our money. And we need to go get the next Dirk. And we need to go get the next big man in the middle. And they want to get the guy from the Magic, Superman.
I know, Howard. But he's no spring chicken, and he just signed on for another year.
I think that's
He just passed up the free agent. I'm just like, well, now what are we going to do? I'm just like, you had a young – good Lord. I'm just like, where are you going to find that guy again?
I know.
I thought that was just – I'm just like, that's the stuff we've waited for 20 years to have somebody – and we just kind of shrugged our shoulders like, well, we're going to rebuild. I'm just like, dude, what's wrong with having a 28-year-old seven-footer in the middle and play defense and score? We don't want him?
I'm a firm believer in, like, old school. Man, if those guys won the championship, you keep them all for at least another year so they get to defend it, which is stupid because that's not going to happen because money's never right. But that's what I wish would have happened is, I mean, the whole team went to the White House. And J.J. Barea and Tyson Chandler weren't there because they weren't on the Mavericks.
But look, man, you can justify getting rid of – if Barea, he's a backup point guard. He wasn't going to be your start. You can say, man, we let him go. We let this other guy go. Terry was old. We cut Marion. I mean you could make a case for any of those guys being gone except for, in my opinion, Dirk and Chandler. I'm just like, dude, you got five guys on the floor. These two guys won world championships. They're both 7 feet tall and can flat out play basketball and are good guys, great teammates.
Yeah.
I'm like, good Lord, can't we go get another couple small guys to play at the four? I'm like, isn't that easier than finding those two guys?
I know, I totally agree.
I could not imagine, but I feel like there's been very limited outrage. I mean, we listen to local talk radio. Everyone goes, man, it's a shame about Tyson. Yeah, going to the Knicks. Oh, well, you got to do what you got to do. I feel like there's been a lot of sentiment like that. I'm just like, dude, I would be livid as a fan.
I don't know.
And you don't think so? I don't.
No. I agree
sense
with that.
Outrage?
I don't
feel like I hear much.
I don't think the tickets complain enough about it. I mean, that's what I listen to, but I haven't heard enough outrage.
Right.
I think it's almost a sense of everyone's so happy that we won.
Yeah,
and
I guess you're
almost just basking in the fact that we were so bad for so long.
Yeah.
And Chandler was only here for that year. So
Well, we got him mid-season, didn't we? Like, we got him, like, even in the spring or something.
Yeah, so he wasn't really a Mav. He was the piece that we needed to win.
Golly,
But, like, to everyone else, it's kind of like, man, I'm so happy we won. Chandler was here a year and he's gone. I wasn't that attached to him. Mm-hmm. I think guys who know the numbers are going to say you had to have the man in the middle to win it.
Yeah.
And I think Cuban and Donnie would say, well, we went and got the sixth man of the year last year on the Lakers. He just happened to suck when we got him. You know what I mean?
Like,
the actual
Lamar Odom, of course.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I'm just saying we basically got rid of Chandler for Odom. You made room. And I'm just kind of like, how's that working out? I'm just like, you got a guy that's a lot older, a lot more of just a – good Lord. It was just insane, man. I mean, of course, retrospect, hindsight's 2020, but we hated the Lakers. We hated all of them. God, I just feel like we finally found the missing link, man.
Yeah. Well, I agree with keeping Dirk and Chandler. I do agree that there's a lot of guys on that team that were old and could go.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jet, Terry and Kidd and a lot of those guys, they could go and no big deal and you could replace them. But I agree with you, replacing Chandler, even with an older Odom who's only signed to a 1-year deal, if you're putting all your eggs in your basket to go get Howard, that's a big gamble.
It's a huge gamble.
And if that guy hasn't given you a verbal commitment to say it's happening, I mean, what happens if it falls through? You know what I mean? That's a huge deal.
Well, it looks
deal.
Like it's already starting to. Like, he's already showing that maybe he'll stay with the Magic. He's already committed to them for another year and missed the window there. I'm just kind of like – I just feel like that was a pie-in-the-sky kind of deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to overpay for Chandler. What do you have to pay to get Howard to come here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to mortgage the future God, he's just going to be sitting on the bench with a bad knee for 4 years, and you're going to be giving him $20 million a year or whatever the hell those guys make.
Well, and what if Dirk,
you know,
what if Dirk begins to decline season?
And he will.
Is the future? You know, what if it is going to have a lot of injuries and it's going to be hard for him to keep in shape? And what if Dirk's day is done?
You know,
I don't want to believe that, but what if it's true?
Yeah.
You know, then Chandler was the young piece you keep and build around.
A little bit, yeah. And, you know, he went to a terrible Knicks team. He was with the Knicks, right,
mm-hmm.
Chandler? And all of a sudden, you're hearing about Linsanity and all this, and the Knicks are decent again. And I know those guys get all the impression, but I bet if you look closely, and I haven't, I don't know. I don't know if Chandler's been having a good year, but maybe in the years to come, he's going to be a piece, man, and the Knicks are going to be contending.
Well, I mean,
and it's all because one of their guys is 7 feet and can play ball in the middle of the floor. I'm like, dude, God, there's how many of those guys can count in the league? Like, they're on one hand. Yeah. Now, I'm not putting Chandler in the same category as Dwight Howard. I'm not putting him up there.
No.
But he's up there. He's up there. He's in the top 10.
But he's cheaper
than cheaper.
Howard.
Oh, my God. I'm just like.
You have him now. And
now we got Hayward out there. Just a spare, man. Just a Dampier type slow guy that can't shoot, that can't play defense, that no one likes, that's lazy in the locker room. It's just back to the job.
I think the most frustrating part is you have an old team, so you only have this short window to repeat if you're going to do it, and you have a shortened season.
Right.
So we're lucky because a shortened season helps us because the old guys get to stay healthy, right?
Right.
It's a shorter season.
Right.
So you think you keep everybody and go, let's just try this one more time. But they made a bunch of moves. And that was the biggest piece that we needed.
Man. Yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't have a problem with any of the other guys going. Deshaun Stevenson was a good defensive guy and shooter. But, you know, you're kind of like, well, we can find another kind of a muscle guy that can give us a little offense. They're out there. What's not out there is Chandler, dude. And we just kind of – we just didn't even try to kind of keep him. We kind of shrugged, like, oh, well, he's going to be too expensive. Well, so now we're waiting for Howard to want to leave Orlando, and he doesn't seem like he's – I'm just kind of like, no, where does that leave us?
Yeah, I think
I just – like you say, even if Dirk retired and you had, Roddy and Boubois, the young point guard, if he maybe comes along a little bit, and you had a couple of picks, a couple pieces from free agency, and you had Tyson Chandler in the middle, man, you'd still be built for the future a little bit more than you are now. Good Lord.
I think that falls on Rick Carlisle too. I don't really know what his bread and butter is. I'm not familiar with a lot of his past teams, and I don't know what he thinks he needs. But I know that the team that went and played the Heat that lost, was with Avery, right? The team,
I think that's right.
That team was convinced they could do it without a big man,
without a center.
Yeah, they didn't need it.
Right.
But in the end, they lost.
Yeah.
You know, and that was our big shot, and we missed out on it.
Right.
So I think that's
they had Shaq, right? Wasn't that Wade and Shaq?
Yeah, Wade and Shaq, and we ended up losing that series, which was our only shot at a world title.
Yeah,
and now it's like how are you going to put a team together to beat a young team like Oklahoma City or the Heat?
Yeah.
They're going to be around for a while, and they've got a great nucleus. How are you going to put a team together to beat them? You got to have a big man in the middle.
Right, right.
You're not going to do it without Howard or Chandler.
Well, we don't have one now, and we're soon going to be without Dirk, like you say, in his. And that just leaves you with nothing. I'm just looking at Odom. I mean, I guess we'll get rid of him. I'm just like, well, what do we have? Who do we have?
Yeah,
Roddy. I mean, Kidd's not gonna be there another year or two at the most.
Yeah, it's
anyway. It's a rebuilding deal.
We have to rely on Donnie to do. Well, he brought us Dirk.
He didn't ask me, I thought a 7 foot guy who with a ring and some game, Tyson Chandler would be a good place to start for the future. No one asked me. Well, well, well. We're going to have some more basketball talk with J.W. Marshall, beloved full band bass player. In our next segment, I'm going to complain that March Madness isn't much madness. Oh, gosh. More tough stuff from the P2 podcast. Basketball talk with J.W. Marshall next. Stay tuned.
And all you've suffered for, she sure has suffered more. She lives and dies with you, you'll find, 'cause no one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just being you. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you, no.
no matter what you do. Hey, hey.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. From beautiful Trinidad, World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio in Fort Worth. Come record here at the studio, 817-733-5256, or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Don't be shy now. Look, man, if you just have a few chords and a couple ideas for a song, come see me. We'll make it happen. I'll play the drums. We'll get J.W. Marshall on bass. All kinds of crazy fun will come down. We do all kinds of music here, amateurs and pros alike. So don't be shy. Come on and record. The new album is out there. Phil Pritchett and the Full Band, Corpus Christi Live. Go download that right now at CD Baby or on iTunes. And you'll love every minute of those 18 songs. Well, joining me today is my good friend, colleague, cohort, J.W. Blue Marshall. You know him as the bass player of the Full Band.
Yo!
Joining us here yet once again. Talk about a guy who knows so much about a lot of things, and I mean that very sincerely, despite the way it came out. One half of the Full Band. J.W. Marshall is here. Blue, as you know him on stage. How you doing, Blue?
Doing well.
Yeah, the day find you well?
Yeah.
You're looking healthy these days. Yeah?
Growing the hair out.
I saw him growing the
beard out.
He grew the hair out and the beard out as part of some sort of a bet, I believe. That was the rumor anyway. Some people were going, man, what happened to J-Dub? He's wearing Tom's shoes.
Yeah.
Is he hitchhiking now? I'm like, you know, he's actually doing quite well. I think this is a... some sort of a gamble that he was involved in. Can you confirm at least that much?
I can at least confirm it was a wager made.
A wager involved just to go a certain amount of time mm-hmm. with growing the hair, growing the beard.
Mm-hmm.
But then you had a conference.
It was a settlement.
There was a settlement?
I needed to get on an airplane to
okay.
go to a business meeting.
Ah.
Prospective new client.
Right.
And we decided that they may not let me on the airplane in my current state.
Yeah.
The beard was
very
unkempt.
Suspicious. Yeah.
Very suspicious.
Yep.
The hair didn't help.
Did not help at all. So no. you did trim it. But you went a good, what, few weeks?
We settled out of court. We went 3 months.
Yeah. Three months without cutting
your
beard or your hair?
No.
3 months?
3 months.
God, that is long, man.
Yeah. We were going for 6.
Yeah. No way.
It was not going to happen. With the beard, at least. The hair is still going. But the beard could not have gone another day.
The beard was not going to...
Oh, man. I could not pull off the Stu Wiley 6-month beard.
Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, it is well documented. We got some photos of that. Maybe we can share those at some point. Well, I have a confession to make. Ivan, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You know, it's the springtime. It's a time of the year that has always given me a lot of trouble. And that is... March, the idea of March Madness. People who know Phil Pritchett know the following. He loves sports. He loves college sports, especially football. You know, he loves golf. He loves baseball. He played some sports. He loves sports, loves talking sports. He listens to sports talk radio when he's not listening to himself musically in the car or something. You know, I'm a fan. Man, I always feel a twinge of just anxiousness when I get my Sports Illustrated and there's Kentucky on there or Kansas basketball or just, I don't know, I can't tell which one's which. I don't care. Now, I used to be into the tournament. Everybody goes, and the answer people like to give is, I don't like college basketball, but I love the tournament, man, March mm-hmm. Madness. The brackets and all that, where you just get, you know, people, I mean, everybody filling out something, you know, and it's all just crazy fun. But man, I am just totally beaten down over the last several years, especially
mm-hmm.
with the vision, with the idea of college basketball. I've grown to despise it on a level that I can't even explain to myself, because I do remember watching the Fab Five at Michigan. I remember mm-hmm. watching the Phi Slamma Jamma way back, you know, the
Back in the 80s, man.
80s, yeah. Well, I mean, just as a kid, man. Yeah. I knew who Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, mm-hmm. Houston. You know, it was a Texas team that was just awesome, you know, going to the Final Four. And the Michigan guys. There were some eras there where you were just like, man, you're just watching the future of basketball mm-hmm. play. And now I turn it on, and it's Butler, and it's a bunch of – I don't know, man. They foul, they miss shots. It's just, I don't feel like I'm watching really great stuff. Mm-hmm. What am I missing? Everyone's always so excited. I just can't be bothered with it. I want to watch golf on the weekends. I'm trying to watch.
That's more exciting than March Madness.
Nicholson Tiger. There's just, oh, man, just Villanova. Just, yeah, baby. Guys just bricking shots and running around and
playing defense.
And then I read, and then totally unrelated. Yeah, right. Passing. No,
fundamental basketball.
And then there was a big article in Sports Illustrated recently about the ACC. I think it was the ACC, about how those games aren't selling out anymore.
Yeah, they're down.
They're way down. NCAA. And they just said, man, you could not get a ticket to these mm-hmm. big conference rivalry games. And they're like, man, and they shot a picture and just the whole top deck was just kind of empty, man. Mm-hmm. So that made me kind of smile and go, maybe I'm not alone. I was almost beating myself up. Like, man, why am I so anti-bat? What is there something to it? What's up, Blue?
Well, yeah, I'll give you the answer. It's What's pretty up? Easy, Phil. I think it's really changed with the exit of the rule in the NBA where you had to play 1 year in college.
Yeah.
Or no, wait. They've brought that back.
They brought that back.
I'm wrong.
Well, but it started with...
But LeBron was like the first, last guy to get a leave without playing in college.
Kobe and LeBron didn't go to college.
They didn't go to college.
Right.
Shaq didn't go. No, Shaq went to LSU.
LSU. He went there for two or 3 years.
No, yeah. I think he just went for 1 year.
Garnett didn't go to college.
Garnett.
Kobe, LeBron, a lot of those guys. Kevin Durant went 1 year to Texas, then he could leave.
Right.
Have they brought back a 2 year deal now?
No, I think it's a 1 year deal.
Okay, just a 1 year deal. But why isn't it? It's just. It's.
It's a watered down product.
It used to be. Fi Slamma Jamma.
Right.
Fab Four. You were looking at some 6'10.
Mega team.
Some 6'10 guy who's a senior. Mm-hmm. Dominating the paint. You're like, dude, this guy could walk out for the Phoenix Suns and freaking have people would have to contend with him.
Right.
There's no question. That's got to be it, man. Just the gap between college level ball and the pros has kind of grown a lot in the last 10 years. Wouldn't you say that? Just, yeah. They're not the...
Well, maybe it's the rise of the mid-majors getting better players away from... You know, so Duke and Kentucky don't just have all of the best players
right.
every year.
Well, and
there's more diversity where more teams will just have one guy
mm-hmm. Well,
versus, you know, a team full of guys. Like even that Syracuse team with Carmelo Anthony, they won, I think,
yeah, that's
one
right.
or two in a row
yeah,
or something.
They did. Yeah,
but they were just top to bottom, you know,
right,
solid.
Right.
Or some of those old North Carolina teams, just they could have played an NBA team.
Yeah.
But now you just kind of have one guy.
Yeah,
and a lot of supporting guys.
Right, and it does give an advantage to, and maybe this is good in some ways, mm-hmm. but you know, like a Kentucky or Duke, you know, they get a huge recruit come in there and just awesome as a freshman. Well, then he takes off.
Right,
and you in those powerhouse schools don't have a lot of seniors on the team.
Right.
And so you kind of have these maybe lesser schools that aren't as big, but, man, they've got a bunch of four-year guys who've been playing together for 4 years, and they're passing the ball around, playing their defense. You're kind of like, man, this is a team's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Kansas got that one freshman guy that can dunk from the midcourt.
Free throw, yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, well, but, you know, BYU's going to be tough. They're out there. They're all 25 years old or whatever from their – return from their mission trips or whatever, you know. But you got older, more mature players who pass and play defense, and but it's not as exciting. I don't know. I
think that's the deal. I think it used to be in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Man, if somebody left their junior year, like 1 year before graduating,
yeah,
it was a huge deal.
Right, right.
And now just the dollars have gone up in the NBA to mm-hmm. such a extreme.
Right.
The guys are thinking, man, if I can get out after my first year, I'm getting out of here.
That's right.
If I can't, I'm going to get out my second year, my sophomore year. If I can't, you know, those seniors are the guys like, you don't even know if they're going to make it onto a team in the pros because they haven't gotten
Yeah, you're
yet.
Like, if he was that good, he'd have been gone his freshman,
two,
sophomore
years
year.
Ago. Yeah,
that's right. There's sort of that stigma on the whole thing. And so you just, the last several years at the Final Four, you kind of can't remember what team won or did. And those final games I've tried to watch, and there's a lot of fouls and missed shots, and I'm kind of maybe these smaller schools aren't used to the big stage as much. There just seems to be a huge disconnect with any kind of like rivalries and dominance and stuff. I mean, they still exist, but it's just, you know, the attendance at games isn't as good. There's just not as big of a... And then what really set me off was a few weeks ago, Mickelson and Tiger were playing Pebble Beach. The Pebble Beach AT&T mm-hmm. was coming on at 2 o'clock or something like that. So I'm sitting there on CBS just going, bring it on. Can't wait. What hole are they on? They got to be like 7 or 8 right now. Ready to roll. They're in the same group. And, man, they just got freaking... You know, Memphis and, you know, Western Kentucky just fouled. There's like a minute left, just 10-point game, but they're throwing it in and fouling the guy and just, you know, and they're missing free throws. And they, I mean, the last minute can take tens of minutes.
Yeah.
Took forever. Guys just jacking threes and not, I'm just like, this is the biggest beating. They're like, well, the game's running long. Well, as soon as the conclusion of this exciting game will take you to Pebble Beach. I'm just like, switch me over. Dude, the torture is killing me. I mean, I started just going, who is watching this stuff, man? This is terrible. It's just not a good product, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't watch the season anymore, but I'm still a sucker for March Madness. I love the upsets, and the upsets are so more, more possible now because even if it's, Portland playing Duke and Portland has a chance. I don't care if Duke is down. I just want to see them lose.
If all their guys went to the pros.
Yeah, I just want to see them lose.
Right.
I want to see Kentucky lose. I want to see North Carolina lose.
Right.
Give me George Washington. Give me, give me the little guys. The guys that have no chance of going to the NBA.
Right.
But they play as a team and they beat the one freshman from the other team
mm-hmm.
that's going to make millions the next year.
That's
what I want to see. That's what America wants to see.
That's true. That's true enough. Yeah, I don't know. I've never been because I always liked pro basketball. I always followed mm-hmm. that, you know, and was always just really into it. And pro football, but I was just as into pro college football. And man, I just was talking to my brother the other day. I just kind of go, man, I don't know if I can name one player in the country in college basketball. Can you? Can you right now? Just go, man, that dude. I mean, just name a guy's name in the country, Mr. March Madness.
In the country, I got nothing.
You can't name one college basketball player. You, a sports fan, a sports fan who's filled out his bracket, name a player in college basketball.
The Hansbrough kid from North Carolina, he graduated. He was the senior.
That was like 2004.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Christian Laettner, is he still playing college basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, James Worthy.
Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, those are great college players. That just proves my point right there. It's just, there's no, and... I think it's just like anything else. You've got to market those stars.
Right.
But they don't have time to develop them. They're like, man, this freshman.
They're gone before
freshman
they're
in Kentucky, man, he's a star. This is going to ride us for the next 4 years. Well, he just goes to the Pacers. Okay.
Yeah,
but
it's tough
to
have a
always,
product.
You're
NCAA
always
product.
Starting over with either freshmen who haven't played yet,
mm-hmm.
or you're running out on the floor, basically. If you're a good program, if you're a valued program, you're running out a bunch of freshmen on your floor. Who aren't going to be there if they're any good, mixed in with some four-year guys who will never play in the NBA. Well, what is that? What is that? What kind of product is that? If you're sitting at home watching,
and it's
tough. You can flip over and watch, the Lakers play the Mavericks or something. You're just kind of like, well, I think I'm going to watch. It's a big difference. You know, there's always a big difference between college baseball and
the
majors.
Yeah,
you've got a big buffer there, but in the minor leagues, and man, you do hear more about the D League now about playing in Europe.
Bit.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's maybe a more mid-level, mm-hmm. the quality of play in Europe is probably a lot better than college, but not as good as the NBA.
Right.
There's just more of a ever-widening gap there, I think, between college and pro, and it just doesn't make a good television.
And that's the greatness of college football is you don't have a lot of guys leave after their freshman year.
Yeah,
you got
right.
guys staying at least 2-3 years. Some even, mm-hmm. Anticipated senior graduating going on.
That's right.
Because their bodies have to develop. They have to, physically they can't compete in the pros until they've matured. Whereas in the NBA now.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can't foul anyone in the NBA, so it's not as physical.
Right.
So you got these Kevin Durant, would have gotten killed in the 80s if he would have went in at, 19 years old.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Larry Bird would have just ate his lunch and just Billy and Beer would have checked him into the first row and would have got up, But now you can't touch anyone in the NBA, so it's allowed for these young guys to come in and just, you know,
that's
do
right.
360s and jump over people, and mm-hmm. you push Dwayne Wade, and he, you know, gets four foul shots. It's just crazy.
That's right. That's right. Well, J.W. Marshall, Blue, the full band bass player, sharing his views, consoling me a bit as I ran against college basketball. Always want to be into it and just have no interest. I'm flipping around. There's a game on every channel. I'm just like, give me some golf, the tweeting of birds, a little putt from about 4 feet, the ooh and ah of the crowd as I take a nap on the couch Sunday afternoon. Spare me this college basketball. There's all this hype, the madness, and just, you know, and everyone's like all into it. Then when you ask them to name their favorite team, name their favorite player, they can't even name anyone. They just fill out blindly a bracket.
And full disclosure,
yeah.
Last year won both of my brackets.
I remember
first time
that.
Ever.
Yeah, that's right.
Couldn't name who won last year. Couldn't name one pick I made. Couldn't name one player from last year.
One great upset.
Blindly,
pick. Yeah.
Just going off.
Filled
of,
it out.
Man, and, back in the 90s, you know, UNLV was pretty good, so I got them beating, you know, Michigan State or something. You know,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just going off of team reputations.
Right. That's right.
And somehow, just by luck of someone else like blowing a big lead.
Yeah.
I won on the last day.
With visions of Chris Webber and Christian Leitner in your head, you fill out your bracket.
That's right.
Well, that's all the time we have for the show here. A little sports talk there, some college basketball. Thanks for dropping by, Blue. Always a joy. Always a joy. Well, well, well. Download Phil Pritchard and the Full Band live in Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi live. iTunes or CD Baby. Look at the website. Get in the know. $9.99, 18 songs, 2 hours of music. Don't be the only one walking around without and having not heard all of it. And come see us at the shows. Book us, Phil at philpritchard.com, to come play at your house. That's all the time we have this week, folks, on the P2 Podcast. We look forward to this time again next week with you. Until then, much tougher.
She holds in her mind the things you've left behind. And all that you've suffered for, she should have suffered more. She lives and dies with you, you'll find, 'cause no one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just being you. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you no matter what you do. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just being you. No one loves you like your mother does. No one's gonna love you no matter what you do. Hey.